Dr. Brian Burke has a reputation. In and around Grand Rapids, Michigan, Burke is known as a crusader against lead poisoning. And it's here at Blodgett Memorial Medical Center where he wages war against the formidable enemy.
Lead poisoning has always reminded me of the mythological Greek Hydra. It seems that when you deal with one problem and get that taken care of, another head gets raised with which you need to do battle.
Because lead poisoning affects families in many ways, Dr. Burke helped set up an innovative program, a team-based approach to treating lead-poisoned kids. In addition to Dr. Burke and the nursing staff, other team members include a dietitian, social worker, and psychologist. But there's another important member of the team, cleanup expert Michelle Delves. Delves is based at the Kent County Health Department, and shortly after a family comes to the clinic, they'll get a visit from her.
So what we do is we are going to inspect chipping, peeling, cracking areas. We inspect dishes. We inspect cribs. There's many other things that we inspect that maybe that child is putting into their mouth or has a hold of that you and I wouldn't typically think of.
Like the soil outside or lead dust that accumulates in window wells. Once the source of lead is identified, Delves works with families and landlords to teach them how to clean up the contamination. Most jobs aren't that complicated. A little painting and some careful cleaning usually does the trick. Delves even gives out cleaning kits and demonstrates how to use them. But her visits aren't just a courtesy call. Once someone starts the treatment program, they have to agree to clean up the lead hazard in their home. If they don't, the house can be condemned. While that may sound drastic, Delves says it doesn't happen often, and most people are happy to comply. Dr. Burke says cleaning up the home environment is one of the most essential steps in the whole treatment program.
If you don't remove the lead hazards from the child's environment, or at least decrease them to a great deal, then you can give them all the medication in Michigan, and you will not do any good.
Back at the clinic, Dr. Burke examines a child who's been lead poisoned.
Well, tell me about his GI tract. Any problems with his bowels, constipation, pain, vomiting, or anything like that? How about, how's he coming along with his learning?
Since he started the treatment program, little Francisco's been making good progress, and his lead levels dropped by half. The lead clinic here has been operating for about 5 years. Families, no matter what their income level, pay nothing for the service. The hospital picks up a little more than half the cost, and the state of Michigan pays the rest. The idea of multi-specialty treatment clinics isn't new. It's been successful with childhood diseases like muscular dystrophy and cystic fibrosis. But applying the approach to lead poisoning is fairly recent. Dr. Burke says another key component in treating lead poisoning is proper diet.
If you don't get the nutritional issues taken care of, you pretty much lose the game when it comes to lead poisoning.
If a child doesn't have enough iron in his diet, he may engage in what's called pica behavior. In other words, eating non-food things like paint chips and dirt, which can both be high in lead. And without enough iron in the body, lead is more readily absorbed, causing greater damage to the child. Pat O'Neill is the lead program's dietitian. She says the team approach to treating lead poisoning is ideal because it gives the team members a complete picture of the patient's situation.
Sometimes we get, kind of focused on our own area and don't realize all the other things that are going on. No wonder they're having a hard time focusing on eating when the husband just walked out and, mom's going to school full time and trying to work and she's got three children. So, by learning some of the different things, and it helps give us each a bigger picture of what is going on with that client.
O'Neill and other team members agree. One of their biggest obstacles is finding the lead poisoned children in the first place. Many times, even parents and doctors don't realize problems are stemming from lead. They may attribute symptoms like fussiness or changes in eating or sleeping habits to normal childhood behavior, not lead poisoning. Since the program began in 1993, hundreds of kids have been treated. Just last year, the lead team worked with more than 70, and each year, the number has grown steadily. That means more families are seeking treatment, and Michelle Delves says that's a good thing. While nothing can reverse lead damage that's already occurred, the treatment program can give families some hope, and prevent the problem from getting worse.
Once damage is done, then the damage is done. But what we're trying to do is make sure that lead level does not increase. We're trying to decrease that lead level. That way, possibly the damage won't be as severe as it may have been.
For his part, Dr. Burke says there is a bright spot in the battle against lead poisoning, and that is knowing that the problem is totally preventable. But, he says, we have to stop using kids as lead detectors.
If you remember the old saw about miners used to carry canaries into their mines to see if levels of poisonous gases were too high, and when the canaries died, they knew that that was a problem. That's what we're doing with children with lead poisoning.
Burke says if you think your house has a lead hazard, get it tested. And if you think your kids may have been exposed, get them tested, too. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Grand Rapids, Michigan.